Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Quick Slants podcast is brought to you by Nissan. Get the Nissan for big model year-end savings on the last of our 2018s. Shop ChooseNissan.com today. That's ChooseNissan.com today. Today on Quick Slants the podcast, Patriots got one in the books, and they've added a wide receiver. His name's Corey Coleman. Mayo and I go deep on him, and we go deep on the differences in the defense between Flores and Patricia. Were they real or imagined? All that and more on Quick Slants the podcast. Which, as always, Gerard, brought to you by the fellas over at State and Liberty. They make wonderful shirts, both dress shirts and golf shirts, and they're shirts that taper nice, and they fit you good around the shoulders. You've been doing your flies, you've been doing your belt pull-ups. Stuff, you've been doing your push-ups.
Pull-ups?
Yeah. The next thing you know, you're big on top, and you like you want to be at the middle. You're not as big. So you need a tapered fit. You don't need one of those big old cotton shirts that hangs off you like a sail. So you want to go to State and Liberty. State and Liberty pop-up shop, meanwhile, is at 125 Newbury Street in Boston. And they're going to be open through the holiday season. So stop by with some friends or coworkers to hang out, have some drinks, watch some football, and check out their new fall gear. Be sure to mention Quick Slants for a 15% discount. Or you can go to stateandliberty.com, stateandliberty.com. Type in the code QUICK. At checkout to receive 15% off your first order. I think I might go to that pop-up show.
Hey, talk about foreshadowing the holiday season. What holiday are we talking about?
Columbus Day.
Perfect.
I mean, these guys are going to be there for a while.
But usually people don't say the holiday season.
But I would go there. Want a field trip?
I'm going to go.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm going to hit some crunches tonight.
To make sure you're looking good.
Make sure my abs
Yeah, make sure you got the V.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't sell you any of our clothes because you're a little bit round. Nah, they wouldn't do that. The guys over there, they understand.
Yeah, minimum two-pack. You have to have at least a two-pack.
Rest in peace, Tupac Shakur. We all miss you. All right. Now, let's get right into it. The first move of the day, the first direction I want to go in is the acquisition of Corey Coleman. You saw him on Hard Knocks.
Man, what a clown show on Hard Knocks, though. It's like, you're not going to play me. Well, I'm telling you now, that is not going to work here. He'll be on the first flight out of here, honestly. And you look at his career, though. Look at Corey. Like, he definitely has potential to be a good player. But he has, I mean, they just acquired two receivers.
Yep, him and Benny Fowler.
Fowler, honestly, probably has a better shot of getting on the field before Coleman does.
Why?
Fowler's a bigger guy. He's more like a hybrid type of guy who can line up in, you know, multiple positions. But I think Fowler will be able to grasp this playbook faster than Coleman because that was one of the reasons the Bills got rid of Coleman. They said he couldn't pick up the playbook.
Took too long.
Yeah, it took too long.
5'10", 185. He's probably similar in some ways to Brandon Cooks. I mean, we saw him during – he didn't light it up. He's the 15th overall pick coming out of Baylor in 2016. So he goes to Cleveland. Obviously, that's not the best place for success. And we're not going to say – see, I wrote my story today. I said, shit, this guy just got released by the Browns, traded by the Browns to the Bills, and the Bills released him. Bills lost 47-3 the other day. The Browns haven't won since 2016.
They did tie. Yes.
They did that.
Yes.
But I don't know if that's
rooting for you, Cleveland.
I mean, you look at Corey Coleman and you say, well, geez, those teams gave up on him, so how good can he be? But those teams are pretty much renowned for shit decisions anyway.
Oh, definitely. And think about it. First of all, this is a PG-13 podcast, so let's watch the language, mister. Secondly, listen, I think if you can't succeed with Tom Brady as your quarterback, he's done. This is your last stop.
He's hanging by
it. Oh, if you don't make it here, see you later. You're going to go up to Canada.
Which isn't bad. Either.
Which isn't bad at all. Just my brother played there, yeah. But I'm saying, like, if you can't succeed with Tom Brady here, you're going to have to. I mean, where else can you go?
When you mention that, we look at, and this is how Brady can make chicken salad out of chicken. We've already got two shits, so I'm going to say poop. chicken poop. On Sunday, he completes 7 of 7 passes to Philip Dorsett.
Yeah.
Not a horrible player.
Right.
But certainly not a guy that you want to make the focal point of your offense. He throws another 4 to James Devlin.
Yeah.
The Patriots need answers. You can't rely on those two to the extent, not that they relied on them, but you know they need an outside compliment.
Oh, definitely. I definitely agree with you there. But I'm telling you this, it is a problem for a defensive coordinator going against a formation with James Devlin in the backfield or wherever he's going to line up, right, and catching footballs. It's tough. Because now it puts you in a predicament.
If you're the defensive coordinator, they come out in whatever personnel would that be? 2 back, so.
Yeah, if it's, yeah so 2.
22.
If you have two tight ends. Yeah, right.
But they have a tight end in Gronk.
Just say you come out in 21 personnel, right? 2 backs and 1 tight end. Like, from my perspective, like, most of the backs, depending on who the back is, right? If it's James White back there, then I'm going to come out a nickel because most of the time he's going to motion out or do something crazy like that. I would still treat Devlin just like a blocker. I wouldn't even, like, it's hard to give Devlin a position, right? He's a fullback, but he's also that blocking tight end because right now the Patriots just don't have that
guy. So you're going to leave your first and second down defense out there?
I think you have to, depending on who the running back is. Yeah.
But that's the thing about Brady is you saw it on that play that Brady was able to get the first down late and cause Houston to burn its timeouts. You can almost tell Tom is locked in on Gronk.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, that's why I trust.
That's your safety net. Yeah, safety. That's your safety blanket until a guy like Julian Edelman gets back, right? I'm telling you, the offense, first of all, the run game is just like, it has to get better. It's tough losing a guy like Jeremy Hill, too, on both sides of the ball.
I agree.
Because I think the defense looked kind of porous against the run. I think they gave up, 4.9 yards.
.70, yeah.
Yeah, something, but the average is like 5 yards a carry, which is, you just can't do that. And I thought the defense overall played well. I think those guys up front played well. And I really think the secondary played well, even though DeAndre Hopkins had some catches and Gilmore had some pass interference calls. I think he really did a good job.
They kept him under 10 yards per catch.
For sure. I think they did a great job, right?
Back to Coleman real quick, though. Yep. Can he have relevance to this team? The only reason we're talking about him is he's the 15th overall pick. If he was Chad Hansen, if he was Benny Fowler, we'd just say, oh, Patriots signed a receiver. But we know this player because he's a first-rounder, and we saw him on Hard Knocks. From what you saw during that show, it looked like Todd Haley wanted to run his ass off.
Right.
He was all set with him.
Yeah, and the thing about it, and I think it had more to do with just the way he approached the game, like going through the process. And if you can't find a way to enjoy the process and think you're just going to go out there on Sunday here in New England, you're not going to make it.
Do you think the Nick and Bill will lay that out for him when he
totally,
comes in?
Totally. Hey, here are the expectations. Listen, we work hard, and everyone knows it across the league, right? You hear guys all the time, oh, the robots, oh, they're miserable, they don't have fun. Listen, we work hard, put in the work, preparation. If Tom doesn't trust you on that Friday practice, like, you're probably going to be inactive. And I think he knows
And that. Tyrod Taylor couldn't trust him. Right. And he probably has a much lower bar, just given the teams that he's played on, of trust. What am I going to do? I got to throw this.
Peterman couldn't trust him.
I'm telling you, right. But I wanted to talk about Gronk a little bit as well, just because.
That catch radius.
Is he better now than he's ever been?
You know, I think the first, I mean, it's one game.
Totally.
It's,
but I mean,
and
over
I
the
think
last,
Houston played him. Oh,
how do you lose him?
It was like, puh. You, honestly, when I saw that the first touchdown after the fumble, and they doubled him, they double teamed him, but they had both guys like over the top. Like one guy was supposed to be trailing the entire time. He ended up being over the top.
So kind of high low.
Yeah, but they both ended up on the same level. That's, I mean, you love the word choice, duplicative, right? That is very duplicative. Like those guys are just both on top of this guy, and he just. It's a great play, great touchdown, but it's like, man, it's like, how bad can you be on defense? And wait, I want to give a shout out before we move on to the New England Patriots offensive line. I thought they did a good job, again, holding up. Clowney, pretty much non-existent. It's like, I think those guys did a good job.
What about Josh's game plan?
Game plan was good, but I also...
I mean, this is the game plan. It's going to be Gronk, and you know it's going to be
James
White. What I thought was interesting was Josh came out and said, you know what, we're going to run the ball a little bit here at the beginning and get you guys to soften up and see that we have to expect it. It wasn't effective, necessarily.
But it was a Gronk-James White type type of from my perspective. But if you really want to take one series out of the game and mm-hmm. say, wow, that's what the Patriots are going to be, it's right before the half when those guys went out there, even though it was a whatever. That series, series right before the half, that's where it's like, wow, these guys, they have some, these guys could go pretty far with this.
How do you feel when you see Tom looking down the seam and Gronk running down the seam?
Man, I'm always like, please don't tackle him low. Every time I see that, I'm just like, I just want Gronk to survive.
And it's such a deadly play, though.
It's such a deadly play.
But, I mean, it works.
Can we get someone else to do that? Like, I think I'll come out of retirement and just run that seam.
It's just, I mean, you don't even watch the ball in the air. When you see it going there, you start going.
Yeah, like, who's around?
Who's around? Yeah. Start doing the geometry because it's
scary.
These guys, I do think, have shown a level of respect for him in trying not to go for his knees. Let me ask you that, actually, because you played. Did you ever take stock of who the player was?
Never. You don't have time.
Not in the middle of the field.
Yeah, it's like a bang, bang play. I'm taking stock of, like, whoever it is, just don't hit him in the head because I don't want to get fined. Mm. But then if you ask some of these receivers, they'd rather you take a shot up top than hit him in the legs. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, well.
No, but isn't it crazy that
it has to be that?
It has to be that way. You talk about, like, it's just, I don't know.
Where would you have rather gotten hit?
Up top.
If you were a receiver.
Up top. Because, like, the head is still, the head is still
here,
small.
It's 100% if you get hit
100%.
Here, it's going to hurt a lot. It could
when
be
an injury.
When
you saw Jeremy Hill get hit like that, you knew. Like, you knew Jeremy Hill tore something. Like, something is torn inside of this man's knee. You knew it as soon as you saw the replay. Like, you get hit up here, it's like, it could be a chest contusion. Mm-hmm.
Dislocated shoulder.
Or just a little dinger. Just a little dinger.
Yeah. And they'll hustle you out of there real quick these days.
For sure.
Which is good.
But you'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Which,
Jeremy Hill's out.
Before I go much further here, they've said, screw it. We're not calling the helmets.
Yeah. And we talked about this early on. The pendulum has swung way too far the other way, right? So initially it was like, listen, we're going to call 20 of these things in the preseason in one weekend. And then now they just called one. And so, I watched the game last night, the Rams, and like my guy Tlaib took a helmet right to the chest from Cook, the tight end, and no call. It was unbelievable.
Marshawn Lynch was just running around looking for people to smash.
Like, honestly, he wasn't even looking. He was looking at the ground. Because his head was down.
Let me
seriously.
You know what it is? You know what this ends up being the equivalent of? A speed trap. You know, they say, okay, you know what? We're gonna start enforcing that 25-mile-an-hour speed limit over there, and you have a week and a half in your town of the cops just sitting over there, line of cars pulled over. Yeah. From now on, you know you gotta slow down over there because the cops might be sitting there. They did it for a week. So just it was the equivalent, am I right?
Yeah. But honestly, like,
I did it again, didn't I? Just another great comparison.
It was great. But there, honestly, I saw so many defenders just get trucked, just get ran over, and no calls.
Which now sucks because now they're going to throw it. Now, next week, some idiot's going to throw it, and everyone's going to, whoa. I thought we weren't calling these anymore.
Oh, for sure. And the next thing, exactly. You can't come in next week and say, oh, we're going to call it 8 times.
Right.
Can't do it because you're hitting people's pockets.
One car funeral they could screw up. Did you detect differences in what the Patriots were trying to do defensively with Brian Flores as opposed to Matt Patricia?
Not really. You know, you hear a lot of people talk about,
What did you see that was different?
Well, I saw, that's a good question because now I have to rewind in my brain to think about last year's defense. I thought the secondary played well. I felt like the communication was there. You didn't see too many busted plays.
What I thought I saw was way, way, way more pass rush discipline.
Totally. Watson not really moving. And we talked about that as well. Like,
he was backpedaling.
He wasn't like scrambling around. Someone obviously gave him that RG3 talk. Like, hey, this was RG3 his rookie year. And this was RG3. This is RG2. This is RG2 at this point. After the second. Seriously, though, because he did not look good. So it's hard to really say, oh, the defense is this, they're so great. It's just hard to say. Because they played so – I felt like Houston played so bad.
They did.
Yeah.
I mean, he couldn't hit anybody even when he wasn't pressured. His accuracy was horrendous.
Even that read option, though, that first fumble, I'm like, first of all, why even call that? Right? Like, your quarterback, obviously, like, you've seen this guy for two, you know, he didn't play in the preseason. So, you know, all the timing and stuff is a little shaky, right? And we knew it was going to be a bunch of crappy football the first 3 weeks. Like, who's going to play the best out of the crappy football? And you could, there are a myriad of freaking just reasons why that is, right? But at the same time, the read option, you really don't see it that often anymore. But it's like, you're running a read option, which he should have pulled it out.
Right.
Because if he would have pulled it out, that wide receiver was, I don't know if you saw, he was crashing in. He had a lane. But you know he's not confident in that knee yet. And it's like, man.
Just get the game going.
You have great field position. Like, you're okay. Not great, but I'm saying you're good. This is how the game starts.
Yeah. Just don't sex it up.
And now the Patriots, they have the ball at what? The 20? 17-yard line. 17-yard line. And the biggest, so if the Texans, the game might be different, though. If the Texans would have held them to a field goal, that's a win for the Texans defense. Now that's 3 points. It's like, all right, you can kind of bounce back. You're coming into Gillette, and you're down 7-0 with a minute off the clock. It's like, oh.
I mean, that's.
And it took them a while.
And after seeing and feeling as if all week, all right, the Patriots, like, they don't get enough. They don't have a lot of wide receiver fellas.
Right.
You know, you just got to make sure you're disciplined on Gronk. You know, find James White, know where he is, mm-hmm. bottle him up. We're going to be okay. And then 90 seconds into the game, Gronk is dancing around because two of your better guys, Zach Cunningham and I think it was Kareem Jackson, were veteran guys, get undressed.
It was terrible on their parts. And even, you know, as the game progressed, you saw what they were doing. They were doubling, even in the red zone, they were playing cover seven. They were doubling James White because they would put James and Gronk on opposite sides. They would double James White and then double Gronk, right? Or vice them, or mm-hmm. however you want to say it. There weren't too many times where Gronk and James were on the same side. So it would have been interesting for me from the Nexus Nose standpoint to see, like, how would they add.
What would you do?
I would triangle those. I would triangle or box those guys, right? So it's kind of hard to, like, air drop, like, so you can imagine it. But essentially what it is, it's like a linebacker has the first inside. A safety's taking the first deep guy. And then you have a star or a corner, someone outside. Mm-hmm. So
it's 3-on-2.
3-on-2, yeah.
Good. So if they cross, zing-zang.
Yeah,
do you stick with the first inside if they cross?
Well, you have to, yeah. Can't pass them back unless you get a loaded formation.
See, and that's one thing, getting a little bit far afield, I always think you should switch on the goal line.
You always think you should? So what happens if they come in, you know? Nah, because it's so bang-bang. Because as you're switching, say you're on the 5-yard line, as you're switching, like, it's a quick pass. It's a touchdown.
All right. I'm just thinking basketball-wise. If everybody's the same general size, always switch on picks.
But you know what the crazy thing about it? This isn't basketball. It's football.
Yeah, but you're going to give – wait. So what? You didn't detect really anything crazy different on defense?
No. I said the communication was surprisingly –
Yeah, but X's and O's-wise –
X's and O's. I mean, not really. Those guys were getting those guys. I felt like those.
I mean, because Matt Patricia just went out to the middle of the country and gave up 137.
Yeah,
points.
But not the defense though. I mean, the defense was okay. They weren't great, but your quarterback goes out there and throws four picks. It's kind of like your special teams, and special teams gets lost in the sauce, and so you do stuff like that. Even from our game, I say our game, but from the Patriots game, the special teams played like poo.
Yeah, they did.
They played like averaged the punt. They have to find a punt returner.
They averaged over 30 yards per return, which is absolutely unheard of.
And they had five returns.
And that just never happens. Returns. They've been under 20 for most of the last few years.
But what
years.
About the punt return situation, though?
That to me...
I'm like, wow.
That bothers me.
Chung. Got to put Chung back there.
It bothers me because you knew it was there. You knew all the entire offseason it was there. And you released Cyrus Jones and kept Riley McCarron. And now Cyrus Jones plays for another team. What's the purpose of releasing him? Well, Riley McCarron, I think, was re-signed back. But just keep the guy in the first place. I mean, there's too much upside there to give up on him.
You know how
I don't
I
know
feel.
If it's a pain in the ass.
You know how I feel about Cyrus.
Same.
My thing is, like, even if you're not going to run it back, it's more about the decisions.
And I can hear someone say, "Yeah, you know what? Cyrus Jones couldn't catch the ball either." Well, he couldn't, but there were occasions where I saw him do it in college, and there were occasions where I saw him do it in the pros. I never saw Riley McCarron. It looked like he was a kid waiting for a water balloon to hit him in the face
right.
the entire offseason. We would talk about it at training camp. Go, he looks horrible on those. And he did.
He may turn out to be a player, but right now.
They cut his ass today.
Yeah, he'll be back on the practice squad. Please. Guaranteed.
He's
you
not
bet?
Good.
Do you want to bet?
He's not a good player.
He'll be back on the practice squad.
Yeah, but look, if even I can tell he's not a good player. Remember they had Jordan Devey running around out there?
They
had Jordan Devey starting on the offensive line, and even morons like me could say, that guy shouldn't be on the offensive line. And within about 4 weeks, he wasn't on the offensive line anymore. What?
I don't get paid to judge players. I only judge coaches.
What about Patricia then?
You know, it was a terrible, terrible performance.
Did you text him?
Not after the game. Talked to him before the game.
What did he say?
The day before the game. It's personal. What do you mean? It's personal. It's not for this podcast. You guys
well, if
don't
I don't, I'm a reporter. If I don't ask, I can't find out. You never know. You might let your guard down.
I mean, honestly, when you look at a game like that, I mean, it's the worst it can get. So, like, listen, let's turn the page. And that's what they'll do. They'll turn the page. It reminded me of, and it wasn't quite that bad, but it reminded me of when we played the Dolphins and they came out in the Wildcat, and we couldn't stop. Crap! And we,
yeah,
you
but
know
you
what
didn't
we did?
Lose. But all three phases didn't get embarrassed.
Pretty much. Offense went out there
you
and
lost
scored.
21-0.
No, we lost like, it was like 30-something to 10 probably.
No, it was 21-0.
Well, that's losing on offense. That's losing on defense. That's losing. What do you mean?
Well, the specialty teams must have done a nice
the
job.
The specialty teams? Like what about the special teams?
I love calling them specialty teams.
Everyone lost. Like, if you lose 21-0, no one played well.
Okay, 48-17 or whatever the hell it was last night.
Maddie yeah, Green. But you take away four plays and it's like 24-17. You take away four plays.
If you take away three plays from the Dolphins game, it's a nothing-nothing tie.
No, it's not. They legit were averaging like 8 yards a carry. We couldn't stop it. That's more painful than like giving up big plays. Because the big plays is like, all right, you take away those four plays, boom, boom, boom. If a team goes out there and they're averaging like 8 yards a carry, it's kind of like, well, shoot.
What's the common denominator in those two games?
Hmm.
Matt Patricia. All right, that's all the time we got tonight. we're going to put a wrap on this, folks. We got to go do the Quick Slants program right now.
Peace.
But State and Liberty, please visit them, stateandliberty.com. Stop scraping that thing. Oh, every week. The State and Liberty pop-up shop at 125 Newbury Street in Boston. Stop by. Maybe we'll try and set up a little meet and greet over there. We can talk some football, have a coffee, and buy some shirts, huh? What do you think? Salute. Just an addendum to the podcast. We grabbed our phones afterwards, and it was 13. 13.
Listen to these numbers, though. Ronnie Brown.
Put your headset on.
Listen to these numbers, though, guys. Wait a minute. He's going to tell me that this wasn't bad. Like, this is terrible. Wait, first of all, Chad Pennington, ladies and gentlemen.
I love that guy.
17 for 20 for 226.
He was a very
good.
Stop. Do you know I voted for him for MVP that year?
Rushing. Ronnie Brown, 17 for 113, four touchdowns. Count that, ladies and gentlemen, four touchdowns. Ricky Williams, yes, the Ricky Williams, 16 for 98. Think about that. Oh, I just, every time I see this, I see the stat sheet. It's like,
That was Dean Pease, right?
Oh, Matt Cassel, here we go. Another common denominator. 19 for 31, 131 yards. Come on, man.
All right.
Guess
so
who made
bad.
An appearance? Kevin O'Connell.
Oh,
Coach Kevin O'Connell.
Now he's a coach. Quarterback coach or quarterback whisperer.
Running back that game?
Whoa, don't tell me. Sammy Morris?
Sammy Morris and Lamont Jordan.
Oh, ultra back.
Combined for 15 rushes. For how many yards?
49.
49.
You guys didn't get much done that day.
So no one looked good.
Brady did.
You know who looked good? Goskowski.
Walker did good.
Brady probably looked good because he wasn't playing.
Yep. He didn't look good because he had an infection in his knee right then that was chewing up his ligaments and threatening his season.
Who led the team in tackles? Me, which is terrible because I still remember Rodney coming. Like, Rodney was blaming me for some play that wasn't even my fault.
What'd he say?
He's like, "Well, I was a rookie. What are you doing, rookie? Rookie, come on." I'm like, "Rodney, listen, I know you're an old man, but legit, I'm going to punch you in your face here in a minute." That's how you feel as a rookie sometimes.
I can only imagine.
I just want to punch him in the
face.
What
is this rookie shit all the time? That would drive me crazy. I don't care how long you've been here.
Right.
You don't have to talk.
Every game is a new game. It's like when you hear people say, "Oh, I have 20 years experience."
Can I tell you?
Yeah, 20 years experience doing the same damn job.
Last observation before we really end up the podcast is when people who never played in the NFL will tweet or say, "Welcome to the NFL, rookie."
Oh, I know. It's like,
how can you say that?
Right.
Why are you saying welcome to the NFL? You can't say that, you ass. All right. See you next week.